So let's review. The Gemara began with a continuation of some more teachings of Rav Abamachasi in the name of Rav Chama Bar Goria, who heard it from Rav. The first teaching is, V'amar Rav Abamachasi Rav Chama Bar Goria Marav, Kol Ir Shegagoy Ser Gevoyin Mebeis HaKnesses L'Seif Charav. The shul should be the tallest building in the city. As the Pasuk in Ezra says, L'Roimim Es Beis Lekenu, to raise the house of Hashem. And as Rashi explains, the end of the Pasuk states, V'lo Seis Lonu Geder B'Yehuda B'Yerushalayim. The merit of showing respect for the shul would provide a symbolic fence of protection for our cities. If other buildings are taller than the shul, the city does not have this protection and will eventually be destroyed. Another teaching is that it's better to work for a Yishma'eli rather than a wicked Adoimi. But even that is better than working for a Talmid Chacham, because you might offend him and get punished for it. And even less desirable is working for a widow or an orphan, because Hashem listens to them very closely and severely punishes those who hurt them. Another teaching is, Yofa Tainis L'Cholim. Fasting can nullify the effects of a bad dream. The Gemara adds, Uvoi Vayoyim. The fast is most effective on that day, Afilu B'Shabbos. One may fast a Tainis Cholim even on Shabbos. The Gemara next returns to the ending of our mission, which said, Vim Hischilu Eimafsik. If one began one of the above-mentioned activities, he does not need to interrupt for Mincha, and continues, Mafsikin L'Kriyishma Ve'Eimafsikin L'Tfilah. You have to interrupt these activities for Shema, but you don't have to interrupt for Shemoyne Esri. The Gemara asks, Hatana Le'Resha. The first phrase of the Mishnah already said the same thing, that you don't have to interrupt what you're doing to Daven Mincha. Why repeat it? The Gemara answers, Seifa Asoin L'Divrei Torah. The second time the Mishnah says you don't have to stop what you're doing is not referring to the activities it had listed. It's referring to someone learning Torah. He does not have to interrupt his learning for Shemoyne Esri. However, the Gemara qualifies this ruling. Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Yishanu El Kagan Yibshimin Bayichoy V'Chaverev Shetirasan Umnasan. This only applies to people who learn with the intensity and diligence of Yibshimin Bayichoy, for Torah is their occupation. Aval Anu, Mavsikin L'Kriyash Malatfilah, but we, who anyway interrupt our learning for work, of course must interrupt our learning for davening. The next Mishnah teaches some halachas that the Rabbanan decreed in order to prevent people from violating Shabbos. Lo Yotze Hachayit B'mechtoy Somech L'Chashecha. A tailor should not go outside with his needle close to the onset of Shabbos because he may forget about it and continue carrying it on Shabbos. For the same reason, a scribe may not go out with his quill right before Shabbos. Another halacha. V'lo yifal es kele v'lo yikra lo aner. He shall not remove lice from his clothing or read by the light of a lamp. The Chacham were concerned that he might tilt the lamp to improve the light, because as more oil nears the wick, the flame increases, thereby violating the forbidden act of mavir, kindling a fire on Shabbos. However, a teacher may look at what his students are reading, because he won't adjust the light for only a quick look. But he himself may not read by the candlelight. The Mishnah continues with another Issa d'Rabbanan, which was instituted as a safeguard to prevent one from an Issa d'Raisa, even though it's not related to Shabbos. Lo yoichel hazav im hazava. If a person is a zav, which is a type of emission from the body which makes one tummy impure, or if his wife is a zav and she is impure, they are forbidden to engage in marital relations. The Rabbanan said, since sharing a meal leads to intimacy, they may not eat together without placing an unusual object on the table as a reminder of their current status. The Gemara begins with a discussion that will quickly connect with the topic of our Mishnah. Tanan Hasan. We learn in the Mishnah that one may not stand in the Rishus HaYachid and bend forward to drink from a cup, which is in Rishus HaRabim, or stand in the Rishus HaRabim and drink in Rishus HaYachid. The concern is that he might bring the cup over to the Rishus he's in, thereby transgressing the Isser of Hoitzah Mirshus Lishus, carrying from one domain to another. The Mishnah adds, V'chein begas. The same is true at a wine press, which the Gemara will soon explain. The Gemara asks, Carmelis Mai. What if one is in the Carmelis, an in-between area? May he bend over to drink something which is in Rishus HaRabim or Rishus HaYachid? Since it is only forbidden to carry from a Carmelis to another domain because of a Gzeira, a decree of the Rabbanan, the question is, do we apply a second Gzeira, that one may not bend over to drink because he might carry the drink into his area, which would also only be an Issa d'Rabbanan? As Tosfos explains, although generally we did not apply Gzeira l'Gzeira, perhaps here we do apply one Gzeira on top of another. Abaye says we do, and Rava says we do not. At first, Abaye tries to bring proof from the words of the Mishnah we just quoted, V'chein Magas. He says there would be no novelty in this teaching unless the Mishnah is speaking about a gas, a wine press which has the status of a Carmelis. And the Mishnah is saying that you cannot drink from it if you're standing in another domain, Rishus HaYachid or Rishus HaRabim. So you see, the Mishnah does apply one Gezerah to another. However, Rava refutes this proof by saying that these words of Echein Begas teach a completely different halacha regarding Meiser. Drinking over the wine press under certain conditions is permitted even before separating Meiser because it's considered shtias arai, casual drinking. Abai tries to bring another proof, this time from Mount Mishnah. Our Mishnah said a tailor may not go out before Shabbos with his needle, which is exerted to prevent him from carrying on Shabbos. My love, the Tchuvalei Bebigdai, isn't our Mishnah talking about a tailor whose needle is stuck in his garment? Now, Minat Torah, it is only forbidden to carry an object in a normal way, which is in one's hand. The Chacham forbade carrying the needle in his garment as exera because he might remove it and carry it in his hand. If so, says Abaya, in this case, we have applied a second exera, that a tailor may not carry the needle in his garment before Shabbos, lest he continue carrying it on Shabbos, which itself is only exera. Although Rav refuted this proof by saying that in our Mishnah the tailor was holding the needle in his hand, and there is only one gzera here, Abaya found a brisa which taught explicitly that a tailor may not go out before Shabbos with his needle stuck in his garment. So he still has support from the brisa. Rav answered, Homani Rabbi Hudahi, the Amma Umman Derechum Nosichayev. This brisa follows the opinion of Rabbi Huda, that for a tailor it is normal to carry his needle stuck into his garment, and for him it is an asim minat Torah. So too other professions have their respective norms. Therefore, in our Mishnah there is only one gezer. The tailor may not go out with the needle stuck into his garment right before Shabbos, lest he continue carrying it on Shabbos, which for him would be asim minat Torah. The Gemara then goes into a related discussion. Tana Chada, lo yetze hazav bekisai, v'myatza potra avolasa. One brisa says it's forbidden for a zav to go outside on Shabbos with his pouch, which he wears to protect his clothing from getting soiled, because that's considered carrying on Shabbos. However, if he did go outside, potter avolaser, he's exempt minat Torah, and it's only osim rabban. A second brisa says, lo yotza, v'myotza chayev chatas. He should not go out with his pouch, and if he did go outside with his pouch, he transgressed on a biblical level and is obligated to bring a korban chatas, a sacrifice of atonement. The Gemara tries to reconcile the two brisas. I'm Rav Yosef Loikasha, Harab Meya, Harab Yehuda. The Braisa which says he's guilty on a Torah level follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that if one carries something in a way that's normal for him, as in this case, where it's normal for a Zav to carry a pouch this way, he's Chayiv. The Braisa which says he's Potter follows the opinion of Rabbi Meir, that if one carries something in a way which is only normal for him, but not for other people, he's Potter. The Gemara rejects this explanation, and after some discussion reconciles the contradiction of the Braisa totally differently. Harab Yehuda v'Harab Shimon. One brisa follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, and the other brisa follows the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. According to Rabbi Shimon, Malacha she'in etzricha legufa pata. One is only chayv in that Torah for violating Shabbos if it does an action which has a positive purpose, to achieve what this malacha is meant to achieve. For example, in the case of Eitzah, to have the object in the second domain. In this case, though, there is no positive purpose. He's just wearing the pouch to prevent something negative, which is to prevent his clothing from getting soiled. Therefore, he's pata. Rabbi Yehuda holds, Melocha she'in tzricha legufa is chayiv. One is chayiv min ha-Torah for violating Shabbos, even if there is no constructive purpose. Therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he's chayiv.